Good evening, the Radio City Legends is back. It's 6:30 on your Thursday evening, and I'm Steve Hovercell, Graham Sharp in the studio, John Aldridge as well. You might want to talk about the weekend's action, which lies ahead. If you do, 01514720967. It's not exactly a day that's rammed full of footy stories. Maybe you set the agenda. Give us a ring. Hello, boys, you okay?
Yeah, Steve.
Seems a little bit quiet as far as football's concerned. Don't know why that is. One bit of breaking news in the past sort of 45 minutes to an hour. Andy Robertson, so Liverpool's fullback, who's just been sensational. According to one website looking at now, he signed the new contract now, which keeps him at Liverpool Football Club until the summer of 2024. So he signed for £8 million initially, and he's agreed that contract extension. Of course, the likes of Joe Gomez and Sadio Mane have recently as well.
Yeah, to be fair, it's been a great year for the lad, hasn't it? You know, his wife gave birth to his second child as well just last week. So congratulations on all fronts. He warrants it. Absolutely, he's been brilliant. Mm. Brilliant. Scotland's best export since Sharpie.
Why can't we find more Scots, eh?
£8 million quid's a steal.
Wow, absolutely.
You look at the fees now, obviously, even now, even when he moved for £8 million, that is a steal. Mm. You know, when you're looking, who was the Liverpool sold to? Solanke went for 19, didn't he? Okay, he's a forward kind of thing, but £8 million for.
But do you know what happened on when they done deal with the Hull? They had a young lad called Stewart. Yeah, well, Hull bought for like around about 5 million, so he only really cost around about three. Mm. Going one way and the other way, more or less. So it is.
Even better.
Ah, dear me!
How's the boy Stewart doing at Hull? Is he playing?
Do you know what? I wouldn't know. You know, not.
Is it Cameron? His first name? No.
Kevin Stewart, wasn't it?
Yeah. Done quite well. They've come on a couple of times.
But when you think about it,
why did no one else spot Andy Robertson? It wasn't like he was highly touted around at the time, was he?
Yeah, seen him all, and you think, oh, he's a good player at him, yeah. But
no one else was chasing him. Obviously, for a price tag of £8 million, no one was chasing him.
You've got to say, Liverpool's like the scouting system, you know, it's the last couple of years that they've been excellent. You know, years gone by, chronic. Absolute ridiculously garbage, some of the stuff we brought in, not fit enough. So, you know, we wouldn't have got our reserve team, you know, years ago. But, you know, they've got their act together, and you know, with the manager now, they've done really, really well in some of the signings that they made. And it's great because, you know, you've got Alisson just signed, he's got 4 or 5 years, Van Dijk the same, Joe Gomez just signed, you know, you've got obviously Robertson now, Trent Sound. Henderson has, and the front three. So what he's doing, he's getting a 5-year plan in place, which the stability that you need to build on to get players in and around. You know,
you haven't got much dead wood, have you?
It's got rid of a lot.
Yeah,
Sharpie, you're right. Yeah,
we've got dead wood. We still got to get rid of. But Liverpool seem to have weeded theirs out, and there's only one, maybe two, if that kind of thing. So yeah, it's easier to do it when you're buying your own players now. And not having to rely on somebody else's players. I think this Marco Silva for Everton's come in, and this player's there that he doesn't fancy, but he kind of get rid of them. You know, we've talked about it before, but boy Markovic, I think, from Liverpool, the one that's still there. Yeah, and it's difficult to get rid of them.
It's a problem. The problem, like what Everton have had, is obviously when you change managers so thick and fast, they brought players in that they like, and obviously other players. Mm-hmm. Managers want a different regime and a different plan to play football, and they don't fit into that system. No. So Everton now, I don't know, but I'm surprised, and I'm looking at Everton. They've got a lot of dead wood. And a couple of years ago, I was looking at Liverpool saying, dear me, you've got like 11 players there you could get rid of. Now we've got maybe four.
And it's not easy to get rid of them, is it?
No, we're just talking about that off air, me and me Sharpie in the back. It's a nightmare. Something you can't even get on loan to get rid of the wages, you know. So, i.e. Markovic.
You know, well, you would imagine his £50,000 a week could be well spent somewhere else, couldn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what Andy Robertson's on, but it won't be far off £50,000 a week. I wouldn't have thought. I don't know. I'm just shooting in the air there.
No, you wouldn't know. But
Umani asked for Everton. He's probably on decent wages, isn't he?
But if we're led to believe he's going to Cardiff, so he's been good wages, yeah.
Yeah. But again, will they take all his wages, or will that be split?
It doesn't matter. They might do, they might not. Everton might pay a bit of it kind of thing. But I've just said to John before, I'm made up for him. I don't think he's the best, but I think what you get, he gives you 100%.
But
I tell you what, he's actually, if the loan deal goes through, that says a lot about him, because we talk about other people who just sit, and he'll just sit and do nothing and pick up money. At least the boy wants to go and play. He could easily turn down and say, I'm not bothered and that kind. At least he went out and said, I want to play. You know, he's not going to play Everton, so he's going to play somewhere else. But you get a lot of them now who, absolutely, if they're not in the first team, will just go...
happy to sit, well, on the bench.
Well, interesting. There's a quote about Lazar Markovic in the Echo today. It sounds like he's quite a nice guy, actually. Neil Critchley, who's a good fella, he's the Liverpool under-23s coach, says, I've got to say, he's brilliant to work with. He's great with the young lads. He's humble. And he listens to what's asked of him. So yeah, it's probably not his fault he's on 50,000 a week and not got into the first team.
Go and play.
It's his
fault, yeah.
But go and play. You know what? Go and play. So you must come. You must be able to sit down and say, right, OK, fair enough. And you're not telling me that somebody from Liverpool is struggling to get a club. Somebody would take him. But on the promise that, OK, fair enough, he might be on, say he's on 30 grand a week. Mm. Liverpool will pay 15 or even maybe 20 or something.
Just to get
him out and play, and the other team will take 10 grand. You've got it. You're not telling me that there's nobody out there who would take a punt on him. You know, to me, that tells you that the player, and he might be a nice guy and he's good for the kids, that's a great attitude to have, but as a player, you need to play. The last thing you want to do is train all week and sit and twiddle your thumbs at the weekend.
That's horrible.
You've got to play.
Well, why can't you sell Umar Niass? I say you. Why can't Everton sell Umar Niass? Because you would have thought in this window, there are clubs looking for a striker who want it permanently.
Well, listen, you know, to me personally, we paid £13 million for him. I think we paid £13 million from.
So there's a certain level with
which
it's acceptable.
Somebody, so there's got to be a time. If somebody comes in and said, we'll give you three for you, you're going to turn around and go, no, we want more than that kind of thing. So there's got to be a bit of a give and take in what they actually want from. If somebody came in and said, we'll give you 9 or 10, they might say, oh, we'll take a chance, we'll give them a thanks very much kind of thing. Mm. But he's gone out now, and if he goes to Cardiff and hopefully he does well there kind of thing, because his attitude can never be doubted. His attitude's great. Not the most technically best player in the world kind of thing, but his attitude's great.
What's his goals per game ratio, Sharpie?
I'm not sure. Not bad. Not bad, considering.
I should say minutes, really, because he comes on a sub, and that's a big difference, isn't it? You know. Yeah. So.
Well, we're just hoping he goes to Cardiff and he does at Cardiff what he done at Hull.
Beat Liverpool, remember
no,
that
but
one.
No, listen, I just think players need to go out and play. And
I know, spot on.
And
even it's the younger, it's a short career, you know. You
25 appearances, 9 goals last season.
Do you know what? That's not the worst in the world by far.
It's
you know,
not,
and when you think about it, some of them are substitution.
Yeah.
Well, lots of them are substitutions.
So you know, where is it? It's a lot better than Summer League, by the way. Certainly what.
New players, is that on your mind? Give us a shout if it is. 01514720967. Just to continue the Andy Robertson thing briefly, do you think it sort of shows as well that the managers, whether it be Klopp, that they probably got a little bit more pride in a British player? I know Klopp's German, but do you know what I mean? Getting British players through, does it make a difference? Is it?
I think it helps.
It helps.
You know, you don't. You know, I remember when you know Wenger was the first one to play an all national side, didn't he? And then I remember going down to the Oval, and Liverpool only had one or maybe two British stroke Irish players, whatever it was. And you think you don't want to go that way, but the way football's gone. You do go down, but you do want a nucleus of people like you know British stroke Irish in your team, don't you? I think it, for the balance, if nothing else.
Yeah, we need some more Scots.
I was going to say, don't say British. He's Scottish. He's not British. He's Scottish.
Scots are British.
He's Scottish.
Yeah, Liverpool.
Stop
Liverpool.
It, you.
Liverpool were built on the Iron Girder, were they? Iron Girder was called. Yeah, right throughout. Yeah,
the Girder. Brilliant stuff. It's 6:39, Radio City and Radio City Talk. It's the Radio City Legends, John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. We're going to take some calls. Let's first of all talk Liverpool with Steve. Evening, Steve.
Hi, evening, lads. You all right?
Hello, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Good, yeah. I just wanted to touch base on Andy Robertson. I know he's just signed his new contract, and he's. I can't deny how much of an important player he is for Liverpool now. I mean, the lad, I think he plays. He was a year in Queen's Park Rangers, and then he got his move from Queen's Park Rangers to Hull, and then we bought him for $8 million.
Queen's Park, Steve. It's not Queen's Park Rangers. It's Queen's Park.
It's a big difference.
He's getting very upset with all these
300 miles.
Glasgow team, Queen's Park.
But I think you know he's always, as John will tell you, he's always in a constant 7, 8, 9 out of 10 every single week. Yeah. Him and Van Dijk, Milner, you know what you're going to get from them, and I think he's probably. You're thinking about left backs in form. You'd say he's the best in the Premier League by a way.
I'll go with that.
Europe, and also as well, Liverpool, we always seem to do well with a Scot in the team. I mean, when we won the treble, we had Gary McAllister in the team. Prior to that, we've always had a good Scotland team when we've won things. So I'm hoping that's a good sign for the season.
But it's true. You know, we spoke about this for years. You know, when Shanks come in. No, you look at it, you got like the spine of the team, Tommy Lawrence, Scottish, you know, Ron Yates, St John, Stevenson, you know, all good Scottish, well, very good, great players, you know, and we continued the fold right through, you know, with Souness, obviously unbelievable players, you know, Robinson's
Gary
come in.
Gary McAllister as well.
Yeah, Gary Mack, obviously, yeah. So, and what he does, Andy, he epitomises, you know, what you want out of your player, Liverpool-wise, you know, from all down the years. He's like a Joey Jones figure. You wouldn't probably remember him, but I loved watching Joey Jones. You know, he was brilliant. Joey used to shake his hands to the copper. He'd go through a brick wall for you. You know, I was, I have to say, Andy, I think he's got, you know, perhaps more gifted than Joey in some ways. Joey could tattle, dear me. He could tattle. And then Jamie Carragher, like you can liken him to them type of players, can't you? So I'm so pleased that he's got his new contract.
One of the comments that made me laugh this season on Andy Robertson is Jose Mourinho's comment on him when we beat Man United, and he says, I'm glad to come off the pitch. He said, I'm sick as death of watching Andy Robertson up and down that left side. Yeah. He said he just doesn't stop, does he?
No,
he's so constant.
He's an athlete, isn't he, as well? You know, he's a proper athlete, you know. Well, Stevie Nicholls like that. Nicholls up and down like a blue fly. Really come out there, yeah. Yeah, so, no, he is. You know, he's infectious as well.
Well, what was that game where he absolutely endeared himself to the Liverpool fans, where he couldn't stop his run? Was it Man City?
Man City last year, yeah.
That's a great run, isn't it? Even if you watch it again. He doesn't know when to stop, does he?
Brilliant one.
Anything else on your mind, Steve?
No, I think I was going to touch base on Liverpool's next fixture. Obviously, Boxer Palace. I just don't think they're one of them teams, John Andy, can't be ignored, because when you turn up Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
I think every game's a big game, but I think, you know, they've turned over.
They turned over us a couple of times consecutive years, didn't they? I think I'm right, you know. And a couple of years ago, you just can't. No, you got to be focused. And Jurgen will say that. Look, these beat City a few weeks ago. You know, on the day we've got to stop them on the day. We know the players what they've got. You know that can make them tick.
Mm. You know, your Townsend, your Zaha, they've got some pace, haven't they?
You know, yeah. and they put the foot in. They're quite a physical, strong side. You know, but beat them at their place. You just got to do it right on the day. You know, he's got a couple of injuries.
One more question, lads. I wanted to get your thoughts on what that is. You know, the Leeds United manager and the spying, which I think it's quite canny, actually.
The
league had to say, but what do you and Graeme think of what's happened there?
Listen, in our day, I think it was spying. You just went to see a team before you played them, done all your homework there when they. I don't think it's right.
But it's not wrong.
Why not?
It's not wrong.
What's wrong with it, Sharpie?
It's not the actual game. No, I think. Listen, people say it's gone on before, but it probably has gone on before. But we haven't realised it. It hasn't been brought to our notice. But I think if you look at it in the so-called way that we say football should be and all that, football's changed. So why not? Why not? Football changes. A lot of things in football we don't like. This is just another one. We don't necessarily like it, but it happens.
Yeah. But it has gone on, you know. The obviously, Liverpool now, when they do the training prior to the game, they've got it all boxed off.
Screening curtains.
And I think Everton are doing the same now, aren't they?
They use the drones, don't they, now?
Yeah,
people use the drones.
I never thought about
that. Finch Farm,
of course.
Yeah, people use drones.
Is this what this fellow was doing as well with the drones?
No, but your own club does it. Your own club does it.
Aye, Sharpie. He's just give away Everton's secrets here.
Every club does it to monitor the players and what they do and the running and the stuff. But they all have the drones that follow the training session. Yeah. So it's easy to do.
Well,
he's setting off new rumours. Steve, thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
I think it's utterly fascinating what he's done, Bielsa, and I actually don't think he's done that much wrong. He's simply analysed to the 10th, 11th extent, you know, just how other teams operate. And in fact, he retold a story yesterday in his press conference of how he did it for Bilbao against Barcelona in a cup final, in the Copa del Rey final. And afterwards, Pep Guardiola complimented him on the amount of preparation he'd done and actually said, you know my team better than I know my team. It just shows managers these days go to ridiculous extents studying.
You know, people done it at Melwood because it was so easy. The access was so easy with standing on the bins for years. You know, people didn't know, and even because the fans were doing it. So it's gone on.
Gerard Houllier did it before he. Do you remember? That was how he said he got his passion for Liverpool and wanting to be there. He used to study the players from a house, a room he rented.
That's right, overlooking, that's right. So, but hey, it's gone on years.
This fellow's very honest. I don't know what he's at. Is it just one fellow?
No, he sent
binoculars?
One fellow to. No, he had. He was caught with a pair of pliers, wire cutters, in some bushes outside the training area because Derby's training area is right next to a main road.
He had someone doing this, obviously. He wasn't himself, was he?
Doing what? He wasn't there with wire cutters himself, was he?
No.
he shouldn't be punished for this. Leeds shouldn't be punished.
I don't think there's a rule.
If you can get in, it's your fault for not having
security.
That's
a make the rules now, yeah.
He'll be a manager in the Premier League, that fella.
He's done a great job for Leeds, and you know, it's one of the clubs.
He's got a great reputation.
Yeah. But it's one of the clubs that you want to see back in the Premiership, Leeds. You know, they've been a fantastic club over the years. When I was young, when I went to watch Liverpool, you know, they were right up there, the tops, and I remember the team. Fantastic team, fantastic club, and hope they certainly get back into the Premiership.
Got to Leeds.
Is he? He's Argentinian, isn't he? I bet in Argentina and Chile there's a fair bit of skullduggery that goes on, isn't it?
That's where it's come from.
Okay, you got a thought on it? 0151 4720967. Radio City Legends with John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. Back in a moment. We'll take more of your calls very shortly. Just gone past 10 to 7 on your Thursday evening. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp here, 4720967. Just wanted to mention, on behalf of good friend Andy, who works with Liverpool, and he's looking after Liverpool's Youth Cup tie, St Helens at the Totally Wicked Stadium on Monday, 7 p.m. kickoff. It's against Accrington Stanley.
Youth Cup,
who put out Leeds in the first round. And it's only £3 for adults, £1 for juniors, free for season ticket holders. And you'll probably get to see the likes of Kajana Hoover and Curtis Jones.
Yeah. So playing,
get along there. It's a great chance to watch some of the young stars.
Match up, I think.
Are they going to surface much, do you think, again in the first team this season? Will we see Hoover again this season or not?
I think there's a little bit of a problem at right back, isn't he? But I think it's a little bit... I'm not too sure whether he'll get involved. Just saying whether the manager, it was wise to let Klein go. I don't know, but you know, obviously Gomez should be back very soon. Matt will be back the weekend, so you're looking at who's going to play right back for Liverpool. It'd probably be Milner, I think. So Fabinho will go midfield alongside Henderson. Wijnaldum's got an injury, so I think that's the way you set it out. You know, Milner. But Milner will be up against, obviously, the Sahar, which, you know, he's confident enough. He could handle him, I think, no problem. But we'll have to wait and see. But he clean bit of health everywhere else. Mm. It's just, you know, sooner Joe Gomez comes back into contention because he can give you the best of both worlds, right back and... You know, centre back, but lad Hoover, you know, he's definitely one for the future.
He's young. Is there some youngsters who are knocking on Everton's door as well at the moment? Who's
no, no, I wouldn't think so. No, they've let Dale go out on loan. No, I don't think there's any.
All right,
but the interesting one about talking Crystal Palace in Liverpool. You talk about Zaha, the boy Townsend just came into a little bit of form as well, so they can cause problems. Yeah. And they've got the big boy Sacco at the back. They'll want to come in and do something as well. It'll be an interesting game. Yeah, it will be.
Right. Let's talk Everton. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Radio City legend. Next up is Tony. Evening, Tony.
Evening, Graham.
Hi,
evening,
Tony.
Hello,
right?
Tony. Yeah. Hi,
what's up? What's your talk, Graham, on Adrisa going to PSG?
I don't know if it's true or not, or whether it's just rumours or whatever.
It's just speculation at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know.
I mean, and on that point, if he did go, I mean, we'd be silly to let him go in January, wouldn't we? Because of They're not going to replace his legs in that midfield.
No, the only thing I would say is that he might look at it and think if we get good money for him, he's got Tom Davis and he's got maybe McCarthy and he's got enough midfield players there that could maybe come in and do a job.
Enough after his leg break?
I think James is training kind of thing. Yeah, so he's okay. So, listen, I don't think it will happen personally, but I might be wrong here. But it's been mentioned, Idrissa to go there. Somebody said to me they weren't sure whether they could sign any more players because of the financial fair play or something. Yeah,
Financial fair play. That's why they're probably looking at Idrissa for that price, maybe.
Yeah. Tony, saying, Everton going up to the future, we're just talking about, Deadwood, what teams have. You're looking at Idrissa Gueye, my mates who go to the game really like him, and Evertonians like him. Do you think he's the type of player that really the club shouldn't let go because you want to build rather than, destruct?
You're quite right there, Aldo. You should be looking to sell Schneiderlin. Tom Davis, he is young and he does come under that quota for English players, so that's maybe another reason to keep the lad. Mm. But I wouldn't sell him. He hasn't been as good as this year. And there's no one else I can think of besides James McCarthy who can play in that position.
Yeah.
And you're quite right in what you're saying. If we let Idrissa go, we're just saying we're a selling club again, and we don't want to be a selling club. We should be selling players we don't want.
Tony, we were just talking off here before. I'm looking at this. We've got these Morales out and loan, Bolasie, Williams, Martina, Besic, Garbutt, Galloway, Sandro, Kieran Dell. We need to get rid of these players. No disrespect to them.
We've got to get them off the wage bill.
But that's the thing. But as we've talked about it before, it's easier said than done because, one, you've got to get people who come in who'll be interested in them, and two, the players have got to be wanting to go and wanting to give up their contract. All these guys I just mentioned there will be in good money, and I don't know whether they'll be able to replicate that money if they go somewhere else. So this is a nightmare. We're in a situation. John hit the nail on the head and said it as it was. Changing managers two or three times, this is what you're left with. This is what you're left with. They're trying to get loads of dead wood, trying to get out, they're trying to get round it. But now saying now that we can't bring MD in until we sell somebody, it's not an ideal situation.
I mean, the likes of Bolasie and Vlasic, I'd give the boy Vlasic, I'd let him come back personally. Morales, I don't understand why we give him a contract. Because he wasn't good for the club. And we've given him a contract, we've probably given him good, decent wages, and now we're stuck with.
Yeah.
With what he's going to do, he's not going to go anywhere, is he? And say, well, I'll go if you pay me contract.
No. Well, the ones I've just mentioned, I don't think Bolasie's going to stay at Villa.
He'll be back. I mean,
he'll be back Ashley on a good Williams. Money. Ashley Williams is another
one. That's frightening, isn't it? That's frightening that he could be back. That's the worst thing.
Middlesbrough don't go up. Besic will come back. Galloway, Ramirez is not pulling up any trees in Valencia. I think it's Valencia's at.
And that money that we're spending, we can't keep throwing money.
No.
Because would you keep throwing money on players that I'm wasting money basically? And I get it. I mean, I was there on I've got a season ticket for the lower ladder, and on Sunday, the atmosphere wouldn't have been as good as if the referee weren't support.
Exactly.
And then we're going to the point where they were handing clappers out before the game, and I was like,
happy clappers, really?
Graham, I thought. I think that's a bit oriental.
Yeah.
I mean, Cardiff have done it, West have done it. And I said, I got one for the little boy that's just next to me, Isaac, and I went, yeah, mate, I got you a clap.
Bet it was the worst thing you'd done. Bet your ears were burning afterwards.
Yeah, he went, yeah, do you want that? Because he can't clap, obviously.
Yeah.
And he went, oh, no, I'll just shout and sing. So, I mean, and the point is being with that atmosphere, the fans need to be patient. Because we've got a lot of dead wood and we can't keep swapping and changing our managers.
No.
He's trying to work with what he's got, with his ideas into what he's got.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I don't think some of these players can apply what he wants.
I agree with you. I think they've got to be patient. And I know it's hard at times, and I can fully understand the supporters need to see something from from the players to get behind him, and the players, you know, want the supports to get behind him. I just was a little bit disappointed. I thought we would have come out the blocks quickly on Saturday.
We
didn't do that and allowed them to kind of grow into the game and take control of the game.
We just gave the ball away too much, Graham. It's ridiculous. I mean, if you look at the top, they call them the top six now. I'm still adamant it's the top four.
Yeah.
When Tottenham come to Goodison, he ripped us apart. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the worst I've seen Everton play. But I would say that's the best I've seen Tottenham play.
Yeah.
But they didn't give the ball away. Every attack, they were just clinical. Mm-hmm. And we were sloppy.
Yeah.
We were getting knocked off the ball. I mean, the Charleston, I do like the lad. I don't want to slag him, but he's not a striker.
No, not at all.
I was not sure about Calvert-Lewin, but he come on Sunday and he held the ball up well. He scores when he comes on. So it must be hard, really, to try and judge what...
What I would say is that I think it's a specialised position. Play somebody who plays there. And I know people say he plays there for Brazil. For me, he's a wide player. You've got somebody, Calvert-Lewin. OK, we've got Calvert-Lewin and Tosin at the moment. If Nias is going to Cardiff, as we believe, play a recognised striker. You know, whoever it may be, play him. You know, Calvert-Lewin came on and scored. Why not now say, this is a situation, we're not going to bring MD in January. We've got 17 games to go, whatever it may be. You're in charge of the shot. It's up to you whether you give that shot and say, whether they say it to Calvert-Lewin or whether they say it to Tosin and say, that's it. You determine whether you stay in the team or you don't by your performances, but it's going to be one of those two, I think.
Nice one, Tony. Thank you very much indeed. Cheers. Really good points. Just want to continue on that atmosphere thing. Ped from Toffee TV was on my breakfast show on Radio City Talk the other day, and he'd been listening to the Legends because we discussed atmosphere at Goodison in the last show. And it prompted him to have a lot of conversations with other Evertonians who all essentially said the atmosphere's atrocious at Goodison Park. How do you improve atmosphere? And we were talking about how at Liverpool... Jurgen Klopp essentially told the Liverpool fans, didn't he, at one point, you've got to improve the atmosphere. But do you actually have... Can it be done at Everton in that sort of way? Is there someone in a position at Everton who can actually make that
Everton
call?
Evertonians are different.
Why, though?
Because they are. Like, Liverpoolians have got their own routines and what they do and everything else. And Everton...
But do you think it's a good atmosphere?
No.
No.
But I think...
But how do you change it, then?
Being better on the pitch.
Is that the only way?
Yeah,
it goes a long way. Like,
it does go hand in hand, because when Roy Hodgson was at Liverpool, it was awful, wasn't it?
If you see your team working their socks off and rolling their sleeves up and having a right good go, the atmosphere will be good. If you're sat bored to tears, you will be bored to tears and the atmosphere's rotten. Everton, especially at home over the years, have been in people's faces, getting in against the crowd, get behind them. Everybody that comes to Goodison hates coming to Goodison because the atmosphere is hostile. They need to get back to that. But to get back to that, they need to do it on the pitch. And that's why I said I was disappointed on Saturday. I thought, the atmosphere has been poor. Let's start quickly. Let's start quickly and closing people down. Even if you do this high press for the first 15 minutes.
You've said that for a while, Sheffield, haven't you?
Get up, start the game. If you start the game slow, ponderous, passing, passing, passing...
It does go onto onto the terraces.
Yeah, there's clearly an effect, isn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it must be 80 or 90%, but there must be another way. And obviously, Tony referred to the clappers being handed out. That's not the way to do it, is it really?
I think also, you're looking at a little bit like chalk and cheese at the moment. Like, every game to Liverpool, it's like a cup final in the league because, we're trying to win the league and we're doing really, really well. Whereas Everton aren't at the moment. You don't know where they're going, what's happening with the players and such and such. And what they're going to the game and thinking it's not been a great season by any means for Everton. So straight away you're going, you're trying to get into it. But you're thinking, if the FA Cup, whenever in the FA Cup, you'll see a different atmosphere because they're going for the FA Cup. So they'll rise to the occasion, the fans, and they'll get behind the team because they want to win the FA Cup.
Is it on the club's agenda, though? I don't know. I mean,
the FA Cup, it's got to be.
No, not the FA Cup, just atmosphere.
Somebody in AGM came out and said it.
Did they? Were they talking about that?
And got...
Pelters. Down the flames.
Yeah, really?
Just to sit down.
Right.
They tried to bring in how can we do this to build the atmosphere and everything else. And the general consensus of opinion from the rest of them there was sit down.
Well, we got in the cup.
You don't want to discuss it.
We got a certain part of the cup where, they've
the singing element, isn't there?
For years. They've been, they had the same season. And obviously that helps. And they get the old songs going and they breathe it. So that's. could be somewhere.
Yeah, but that's what you talk about. You talk about Celtic and the safe standing. That's where all the noise comes from. The Celtic, you know, class, they start it off as well. So, you know, it's different
that's
for
in
different
the jungle,
clubs. But for me personally, and I can fully understand where they're coming from, but for me personally, you need to see something on the pitch that's going to get you on the edge of your seat. If you don't see that, you ain't getting out of your seat.
Yeah. You know, and that sort of continuous good atmosphere, has that been missing for...
Well, good atmospheres come when you see something on the pitch and you see your team winning.
Yeah. Well, you're always going straight back to that, aren't you?
And a big
good football breeze, good atmosphere.
The games, you know, the big games yeah. Obviously, you know, they come into the...
Anyone out there got any suggestions? 01514720967. Let's take another caller. It's Adam who wants to talk about Liverpool. Evening, Adam.
Evening, lad. You okay?
Hello, Adam. Adam.
Hello, I just wanted to talk about some potential signings that I think I'd like to Klopp to take a look at. The lad at Bournemouth, that David Brooks, I think he's an outstanding little footballer, and I think Klopp's done a fantastic job in getting rid of the dead wood at the club that we've got used to. And he's coming towards the end of that process now, and there's still a few players there that are hanging on, the likes of... Reno and Sturridge. One of them's Lallana, and I just think that Brooks is an ideal replacement for Lallana.
Good point. You know, he's only a young lad, isn't he? What is he, 20, 21?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I don't follow Bournemouth religion and anything like that, but I just think
Liverpool do a lot of deals with Bournemouth over the hour and such. So if he's good enough, he could be on the radar, which we don't know. But if he has been very, very good when he's played this year, you have to say. You know, for a side that, you know, they're unsung and they keep a low profile. But, you know, when you're seeing them play, for a young lad, he's got something about him. I agree there, yeah.
MDL side him?
Just about the weekend, I think. I'm quite confident, quietly confident about Palace. But they have been a bit of a bogey team in the last few years, haven't they? But I think we should have more than enough at home.
Well, you hope so. You know, it's huge, isn't it? Going back to the other point... The Deadwood at Liverpool. You mentioned Lallana, didn't you? You mentioned Lallana. You know, Moreno's going. You know, Karius. You know, he's on loan, but he'll go. Klein's on loan, but I'm sure he's going to go. You'll Sturridge, possibly, but more likely Markovic and Origi. You know, they're the ones. So, I think when you're looking at people to come in, Adam, is a major striker. You know, major striker for me, left back. You know, someone. I'd just say, like Cresswell, just for instance, at West Ham, who's a Scouser Liverpool fan, you know, someone like that, you know. But he, obviously, you've got to try and do what City, we talked about this last week, what City have done, you know, and try and get the quality, the backup quality better than we have to know. And we're in a situation now where the manager's done that and he's got them all on long contracts. So that spreads out to the B team now, the second team, sorry. And he's got to try and get the right ones, like City have done over the last 4 or 5 years or so.
I think it was a massive job that he had in his hands to do that, and I think we're definitely in a better place now in terms of backup players and options that we've got. I think one of the things with Klopp that we've all seen is he's got massive trust in him, and he's got the likes of that Camacho and Jones, Harry Wilson doing fantastic down at Derby. He was class again last night, so I think we'll see a lot of them next season. But like you said, just that one or two top quality backup players.
Well, they certainly get the chance, young lads. He does give them a chance, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's fantastic for it. I think that's part of the reason he was quite happy to let Klein go. I mean, Klein's not going to sit there and be fed to his right back and got that Camacho, who he obviously fancies. And
the only thing is, I think we could have done with Klein at the weekend, to be quite honest.
It looks now like he's letting him go too soon, doesn't it?
Yeah. Just maybe a couple of weeks too soon, you know. But hey, hopefully we'll have sufficient backup.
Hope so. Adam, thank you very much. Cheers, indeed. Adam. Some really good points made. Radio City Legends, 7:08. Going to do pens next. A couple of rules being put in place here. If you're going to answer questions, it's full names. The ruling is from now. Full names. We're not having any of this Scottish arguing.
Well, but you know, if you say someone, you know them, don't you?
Thank you, Josh.
Those are the rules.
It's like being on the chase.
It's like being at primary school.
It's all important. Well, it is. Looking after you two.
Yeah, but Miss Jones in charge.
Sharpie, can you feel older breathing down your neck?
Yeah. All the time.
What? like a shadow over your shoulder.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Come. It's got to end somewhere, Sharpie.
what are you on, John? How many have you won on the trot?
I don't know, honestly, okay. Don't know.
Five.
Get a clarification of the rules so that you don't change them again.
What, any more rules?
Everybody I've been speaking to think it's a disgrace.
Really? Do they think you're being ganged up on?
It's terrible.
It's awful, isn't it? Yeah. Graham Sharp, 14. John Aldridge, 13. And we've still got the rest of the season to go. It's pens. Three questions each. John winner takes first. All. Aldo goes first.
John first.
Number three. Who did Everton sign Umar Nias?
He's talking about him.
From? Where did they sign him from?
Didn't.
You didn't. You didn't. No ideas? Country?
Germany, maybe, I don't know.
No. Locomotive. Moscow.
Yeah. I'd never have got that.
That is correct.
Never have got that.
Okay, let's move on, Sharpie.
I'm going to change the number.
All right. Name the song and the artist.
Normally
John gets these. Shift it around on my computer. Here we go. Right. Who's this? Okay. Play it you again.
Yes.
Okay. Who is that song and the artist?
Rock the Casbah by The Clash. Rock the Casbah. Yes.
Well done.
Yes. Would you got that?
That is correct.
Well done.
You'd have got that, wouldn't you?
I knew. Do you know what? I wasn't sure about the
Clash. That was quite a difficult intro to get it from, I think. Go on, John.
Right. Number two.
Okay. Three players have been sent off a record 8 times in the Premier League. Oh. So three players have been sent off 8 times. Yeah?
What number is this? Two or three?
Name one of them. Number two.
Eight times.
Name one of them.
8 times.
Yes, so three players. Not in the same game. Don't confuse it.
No.
There's just three players who've been sent off 8 times.
8 times in the
Premier League. Just name one of those three.
Stevie Gerrard.
Duncan Ferguson. Got to be in there.
Duncan is.
Has he?
Yeah. No. Richard Dunn is one of the others.
Patrick
Vieira.
I'd have said Roy Keane.
I was thinking, I'd write down there, Roy or Stevie G.
It's a really good question, that, isn't it? Sharpie, go on.
Oh, you're in, mate. You get
this could be
in.
It.
No.
It's all over.
Five.
Number five. Who was the first player, the first player to score a hat-trick in the Premier League?
Got it, haven't you?
No.
Do you know it?
It was...
It's really hard there.
It's the Premier League.
What are you telling him there?
In the Premier League.
Go on, have a go.
It's going to be a United player. It's going to be... Cantona. Cantona.
Who?
Cantona.
You have Cantona?
Yeah. York or Cole. Who was it?
Cantona. You said Eric Cantona, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought I was going to say Cantona, York or Cole.
I'd gone York.
I probably would as well. Yeah, that's good.
But
Eric Cantona.
I think you might have been at Leeds at the time.
It was for Leeds against Tottenham.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, August 1992.
There
was a couple more questions.
Stop the rot.
Here's a mystery voice. See if you can get this, boys. Put your headphones on.
We all went to a Chinese restaurant and the remit was drink as much as
John
you can.
Hutchinson.
Yeah,
that is Don Hutchinson. And what former Liverpool midfielder has signed for Sochaux. Is that how you pronounce it? Which former Liverpool midfielder has signed for Sochaux?
I've had the nightmare today anyway.
Yeah, he was outstanding in the 2006 FA Cup final.
Berger?
No.
Yeah.
Momo.
Sissoko? Yeah. I wouldn't know.
Still playing.
And
it's a birthday today for Alvaro Arbeloa as well. Anyway, well done,
Sissoko.
Sharpie.
What's Sissoko? Remind me.
Sissoko?
Yeah,
Momo?
Tall, gangly lad.
Where did he play?
Midfield, centre midfield, yeah.
15, 13.
Just ordinary.
What?
There we go.
Did he?
Right, let's move on. We've got a caller waiting to talk Sissoko. Everton. Don't worry about it, Sharpie. You'll get your head round it. Let's talk to Gary next, who's next up on the Radio City Legends. Hello, Gary. Gary, do we have you? Yeah, there we go. Welcome along, Gary.
All right, lads. You okay?
Hey, Gary.
Hello, Gary.
All right, lads. Just talking about the finance, Graham, and a few people have covered it, and obviously changing manager gets you what we've got. But
Gary, your phone signal's a bit poor. Just move to a different part of the room. See if we can get a better signal off you.
Right, okay.
Yeah, there we go. Go on.
Yeah, so just sort of, that's what Marcel Brands has probably been brought in for, Graham, to balance the books. And I know that's what he'll be looking at. Obviously, all the players on contracts, all the players out on loan.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a statement today, Marco Silva, saying we're not in the financial condition to go into the market at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But Marcel Brands is the one who's going to try and sort that out, I think, Graham, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's what he'll be looking at.
Yeah, I think, that's part of his job. Obviously, it's a bit recruiting like younger players as well. But, you know, when you're left with that list that I mentioned before, you know, it's a big list of players who, you know, who be on good money, who don't seem to have a future at the club. You talk about Morales, Balassi, Williams, Martina, Besic, Garbutt, Galloway, Ramirez, Dill, Nias, Vlasic. You could put Schneiderlin in there as well, possibly, if he doesn't figure. So that's massive. And that, listen, yeah. I don't care if it's Marcel Brands or whoever. That is one hell of a job, you know, to try and get rid
of
that.
You wouldn't get many hours sleep, would you?
No, for my neck. To try and get rid of... And listen, I might be wrong. Some of them might come back and might... get back in the team, I don't know, but I think it's highly unlikely. And that is a massive list of players. And the worrying thing is, we talk about it all the time, it's not easy nowadays to get rid of them, because where are they going to go that's going to be the same contract, the same security? And the players hold all the cards now. You know, as I said before, players in our day, if they weren't playing, they moved on. Simple as that. We needed to move on. Nowadays, no, because they've got the comfort and the security of a 3 or 4 year contract. Unless I'm getting the same, unless I'm getting paid to go, you give me a little sweetener and I go. It's really difficult, and it's going to be a hard job for whether it be Marcel or whoever to try and get these players off the wage bill. And we talk about bringing new players in, and as Marco Silva has alluded to today, that won't happen unless we get rid of some of these guys.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, I look at the team that... The last few weeks, I think Zoom has been our best centre-half. I'm not 100% sure on being himself, facing him a little bit. The jury still out on him. I mentioned to you earlier on this season, I don't think Toussaint was an out-and-out goal scorer. I think he might score between 5 and 8 goals. I think I'm probably looking at the lower number rather than the higher number on them two at the moment. And he's worried me the last few games then. Is Gomez, he looks a bit tired and a little bit heavy legged. I think that Christmas period where you sort of play 4 or 5 games quite quickly.
Spot on.
And I think he's looked a bit heavy legged the last few games. And he came off the other game. It was the Leicester game. But when he was coming off, game, he was giving high fives in the dugout. And I'm thinking to myself, when you come off, I ever got brought off and wanted to stay on there. Head's down, but he's given high fives and all that.
That's how it's changed. That's how we talk about it. It's changed. The whole thing's changed. If you get beat, you're talking and laughing with the opposition and the pitch coming off and swapping shots at half time and all. That's how the game has totally changed now. And, you know, what you and I and John and that were used to and what we expected and expectations from us, it's totally different now. But I would still say I like the boy Gomez. I think he's a good player. But
yeah,
I 100% agree with you in the fact that he looks heavy-legged. He's come back after an injury. We've got to be careful with him. But as you said, the heavy schedule we had, he seemed to play most of the games. But we just need to... We go to Southampton at the weekend. A result down there, and by that I mean a win, would be great for us, just to get the confidence up again. I think it was important we got the result against Bournemouth, and it's important to kick on now.
Yeah, but also, I'll be made up if we get any results at Southampton. You know, but it's just disappointing that... The Liverpool came for 94 or 95 minutes. We looked like, oh, we're great here, but you know, and then that happened. We seemed to have felt a bit after that game.
Yeah, not
just for six that game.
We talk about games. We talk about having good bits and bad bits and having a little dip. I think hopefully this is a little dip and we can get out of it very quickly. Who would you start with up front on Saturday?
Well, I was talking to mates about this. I'd put Calvert-Lewin up front.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Calvert-Lewin, yeah, he's probably the naturalist centre forward we've got.
Yeah.
But if you look at Calvert-Lewin, his games against goals ratio is probably pretty good. Minutes on the pitch and goals is probably pretty good. And you look at his value. I mean, you look at Liverpool sold Solanke. Probably, I don't think he played any, maybe one game or two goals in 26. And he sold him for 19 million.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you look at Calvert-Lewin. I think his minutes ratio against minutes on the pitch and goals is probably pretty good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'd definitely start Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, I agree with
you. There's a little bit more about him. I'd guess the other fellow, Richarlison, on the right hand side, and I'd flick Bernard and Walcott half and half or 60 minutes one.
Would you not have Lookman in there?
Yeah, I would do. Yeah. I probably would do. I'd probably look around that as well. You know,
yeah.
I'd give him a go because he's done all right against Bournemouth.
He did.
But I'd probably flip between them three on the left hand side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And stick with that. And let's try and get a system going. Let's try and get, you know, a formation that we get something out of and use that formation for the next three or four games and try and get a bit of consistency. I think that's what we're missing a little bit of as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary. Good stuff. Brilliant stuff. Let's finish off with a few tweets and texts that have come in. John says, so can Liverpool recall Klein's loan? John, do you know the answer to that?
I don't think you can, no.
No? All right. On the Everton side of things, Dan says, anyone else worried by Pickford's form? Sharpie?
No.
All right.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say, he obviously is. Eddie says Everton and the Saints reportedly interested in the Cherries winger Fraser. He'd be a great signing.
Christian says no.
He likes him, doesn't he? Joe says, think this game against Southampton's massive. It's a must win if we want the manager to be taken seriously. Mm. Does it feel massive to you, this game of the weekend?
Every game's big, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I think he's got a result there. It's important to build on the clean sheet and 3 points we did against Bournemouth.
Ben reckons Harry Wilson will save Liverpool an absolute fortune next season.
Hope so.
This is the loan system at its best. He's on a great time, isn't he?
I hope so. Yeah. You know, it's a step up to the lad, but he showed the qualities he's got. That's what we can do, you know, in the next level.
And Gary says, if there's one defender I'd love to sign in this window, it's Koulibaly.
Yeah.
Imagine having Virgil van Dijk and Koulibaly as your main centre.
He wouldn't be on his own there.
All day long.
Everyone would want him. Yeah. Let's give a quick preview to the weekend's action. Then, of course, Liverpool home to Crystal Palace. Yeah, that's a bit bizarre, isn't it?
What's that? 3 o'clock kickoff?
Both of them.
So Palace for Liverpool, confident enough, John.
Again, it's like last week. You know, you expect it to not be a runaway victory, but I'd like to think that we're capable of beating them. I don't care whether it's 1-0, 2-1, whether 4-0, whatever. You know, 3 points is all that matters.
Okay, but as we said, perhaps they still haven't played to their absolute maximum, have they?
We're waiting for a game where we really tick, and you know, let's hope it's coming up.
And for Everton away at Southampton,
yeah.
Are you going there, Sharpie?
No.
Long trip?
No.
It's not like you.
No, I'm busy.
Like a good long trip?
Yeah, no. Too far. I think Snodds is doing it.
Will that be a win for the Blues?
I'd like to think so. It won't be easy. They've picked up under the new manager, but I'd like to think so.
Let me release you. I get the sense you both want an early bed. an early night. You'll have to watch Netflix.
Cheers, Steve.
And chill together. All right. Thank you very much indeed, boys. It's 7:26. It's Radio City and Radio City Talk. Radio City Legends returns on Monday, 6:30. I'll be back tomorrow morning from 7 a.m. previewing all the weekend's action on the kickoff on Radio City Talk. So please do join me then, including Fan Friday from 8:40. And Tony from the Liverpool Echo always joins me at about 7:40 in the morning. So I'll see you tomorrow morning on Radio City Talk.